There's supposed to be some women to see if anyone's interested, because the Midrashia put it on their list, but they don't begin till after Sukkot. Okay. You know me more than 50 years.
62.
Under 60 years. Correct. 62.
And he became a rabbi in Naples.
Okay. Did Monty Nussbaum send you things he's doing on the Rav, on the Pashia? You have to acknowledge. He asked me if you could.
It's all in Hebrew.
I think you can read that Hebrew. It's the Rav's, it's written up. It's the great Torah.
Okay, I'll acknowledge.
Acknowledge.
Rabbi, okay. Pepe,
yeah.
Is there a women's bathroom on this floor?
No, the women's bathroom is one flight up.
Oh, yeah?
And you'll see it's marked clearly. Okay, there used to be a woman's bathroom, but there are too many. It was abolished because the boys were waiting in line for one bathroom. You have a big crowd here when it's Torah Tragger comes in this week. There'll be with Torah Tragger about 175 male students in the building. All right, I'm ready to begin today. Let's get organized. Today is August 19th, 2018. And first of all, I want to thank everyone sitting in front of me. And secondly, I want to say Shavua Tov u'Mavorach to all the thousands listening across the wide expanse of the Jewish universe. This moment is quite emotional for me because within a few minutes, I become a Shasnik. Shin Samach. Shishim Starim. 60 years of teaching Torah. So I become a proud, proud Shasnik. Yiratzon l'fenecha Adonai Elohai shelo yirat dava tayadi velo ekashel bidva halacha v'yismachu b'chaveray velo amal hatamei tahar v'yal hatahar tamei velo ikashlu chaveray bidva halacha v'yismach b'chem. Ki Adonai yiten chachma mipiv dat utfuna gal einai v'abita niflot mitoratecha. And I just want to add to the traditional prayer which is found in the Gemara that the Ribbono Shel Olam should give us strength and health when you reach a certain age. That becomes probably the most important wish. And belay v'nefesh, and I appeal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who have so much to teach. Allow me to teach in dignity. Now, I just want to make two corrections on things that I said last month. Small corrections, but nevertheless one has to be accurate. I spoke about Bobby Thompson, the shot heard around the world, the
51.
Famous home run, 1951, and I mentioned it was Erev Rosh Hashanah. Mel Handelberger has corrected me that it was on Tzom Gedalia. So my memory was not that far off. I remember it had something to do with Rosh Hashanah, but it's Gimel Tishrei, Tzom Gedalia, October 3rd, 1951. A more serious mistake, and I thank Harry Ullman for correcting me from Manchester. I mentioned that the head of the Neolog Rabbinic Seminary in Hungary was Schreiber. It's Schreiber. The name is spelled S-C-H-E-I-B-E-R. And he's not a direct descendant of the Chatam Sofer. It's not from the Schreiber family. It's from the Schreiber family. Everything else I said was correct. But I'm happy to make that correction. And I thank the people who were kind enough to email me. About the class, I see one new face here, so let me just mention this class is part of REITs, and anyone who needs supplementary rabbinic credit by attending the class, if I get to know your name, there are no exams in my classes. I haven't given exams since the day I got off the boat in 1969. Coming in Aliyah by boat humbles you. Coming by plane is not really Aliyah. But coming by boat, every day you come closer to Admat HaKodesh. So I was a tyrant as a Rebbe in YU in the 60s, and I gave rough exams, and I never been examined again from the day my feet set foot out at Mat HaKodesh. So you can get supplementary rabbinic credit. That's number one. Number two, just the word on the history of the Kollel. We began here with a formal program in 1978. This class and tomorrow's class are ongoing. In other words, I haven't repeated the class since the Kollel began in 78. So you're coming in the middle of ongoing classes. On the other hand, there's no problem. I'm beginning a new topic today. Tomorrow, again, it's, you know, if you learn by the Rav, you know how to teach. So anyone can come in for a class or two and manage. If you get caught up with these classes, then you take off 49 years and listen to everything that's available on Yahu Torah. Unfortunately, it only begins, my classes only pick up from the early 90s when recordings were being made and saved. So unfortunately, from 78 to the early 90s, it's lost to posterity. I had one student who had tapes. I kept on feeding him tapes in America, and in the big flood in Teaneck a number of years ago, these tapes were in the basement. To his wife, of course, they're unimportant, and they were flooded and ruined, so we have to deal with what we have. Okay, with that said, today I just want to mention a happy note and a sad note. A happy note, today is the 96th anniversary, and I thank Jack Levinstein for filling me in. The 96th anniversary is from the moment that Torah began in a high level in the United States. September 1st, 1922, corresponding to the 8th of Elul, was the day that the Mechit Eloi, Reb Shlomo Palachik, got off the boat, disembarked. He was the first Gadol B'Yisrael to arrive in the United States, not to raise funds, not to give drashot, but to teach the highest class on yeshivas, Reb Yitzchok Hanan. And because we had the Mechita, we have afterwards the Soloveitchik family, and as they say, the rest is history. So I want to acknowledge this yahrzeit, and perhaps as... you're right. I want to acknowledge this momentous date, and could be members of his family are listening to me, in Rehovot, they're members of his family all over Israel. They're members of the family, including my own Talmud, who married a great-granddaughter. And in Stamford, Connecticut, a granddaughter came over to me and told me she listens to my shirim as well. So I acknowledge this date with joy. On a sadder note, I want to dedicate today's shir in memory of a graduate of the Kollel, someone that you all owe debt of gratitude to. He was the first one to go on Aliyah. Originally, the Kollel was organized, the formal program, beginning in 78, and for your last year towards Smicha, you had to go back to the United States. And Yosef Klausner, as I called him, the Klaus, my student both in BMT and the Kollel, the Rav student in the middle, he was the one who fought the battle that I don't want to go back to the States. I'm here in Israel. Give me smicha. Don't force me to leave Eretz HaKodesh. And probably, as you all know, the Klaus died about 2 weeks ago now. And I want to dedicate this year in his memory. I will say more about his life. It's a make mitzvah to say more. But I'll explain that after the Shloshim. People are coming from America who I want to invite when I speak about the Klaus, because it was his third grade Rebbe in Ramaz, and that third grade Rebbe remained close to him until his death. So I dedicate the shir in Harab Yosef Chaim Klausner, Yedidja was the Hebrew version of Klausner, and dedicate the shir in his memory. Okay, let us begin. Over the years, we've covered many major topics, and in covering the topic on a Reuven, I'll ask for your name next week. My sheet, because I see it's really sad that no one else is here, but I have to live with reality. Thousands listening and on the ground, no response. I hope you'll come back and be a regular student with all the privileges thereof. So we began with many major topics in reaching the topic of Eruvin, why Jews kill each other over Eruvin. And the truth of the matter is, wherever you live in the United States, basically you owe the Eruv to Rav Menashe Klein. We got involved with the Mishnah Halachot, and he became a compelling figure in my life. I went through all 18 volumes of his responsa literature, and we reached a simple conclusion that by dealing with Rav Menashe Klein, you really are portraying a picture of responsa literature in the Western world after World War II. Rav Menashe Klein died a few years ago. I spoke about his life. I don't have to repeat it. You can go back and pick it up on yutorah.org. But essentially, he was a Hungarian who went through the Holocaust very close to Elie Wiesel. He and Elie Wiesel became very close, not only in the concentration camp, in the death camp, but in Paris following World War II. Elie Wiesel refers to him in his autobiography as my rabbi. Whenever he had a problem, he went to Rav Menashe Klein when he won the Nobel Prize. So a good deal of the money that was given to him winning the Nobel Prize, he gave to Rav Menashe Klein to build the shul in Ramat, which is dedicated in memory of Elie Wiesel's parents. And Rav Menashe Klein's son is the Rav in the shul. So this is Rav Menashe Klein, and what's amazing about him, although he's Hungarian, he could be friendly with the Satmarov, and he could be friendly with Dov Frimmer of Yeshiva University. He never allowed politics to interfere with his paskening shilas, and he answered every question he received. Now, we therefore decided a few years ago, let's go through the world of Rav Menashe Klein and try to understand the world of the 20th century, the world of Pesach, and get a good picture. I also want to add, this class is a little bit different than the average class that you come to in a yeshiva. Is a little bit different because the person teaching the class, named Aaron Rakefet, I didn't mention my name, also has a doctorate from Bernard Revel Graduate School. And over the years, I was exposed to what we call Chochmat Yisrael, Scientific Jewish Scholarship, Wissenschaft des Judentum. And there's an extra layer. I would say the cake in the class is traditional learning, Talmud Torah. The icing on the cake is Chochmat Yisrael. And here you'll see today already how we're not just going to go through a tshuva, but we're going to try to see what's underlying the scientific part of the tshuva, meaning the economic background, the sociological background, the historic background. And there's so much you can gain from tshuva when you go beyond the halacha that it's beyond words. And here I go back to a moment in class in Yeshiva College, and I have to pay debt to Yeshiva College. I went to MTA, I went to Yeshiva College, I went to all its graduate schools, Reed's, B.R. Bernard Revel, and we gained so much. It was such a fabulous education at that time. I don't know about Yeshiva College today. I'm talking about Yeshiva College, MTA, circa 1951 to 1959. And in college, we had a professor, Agus, taught Jewish history. He taught, later he was in Bernard Revel, he taught me in Bernard Revel Graduate School. He actually, my MA, I have two masters, as you know, but my MA, I did under Professor Regis, the Cleves Getz, 1766. Someone just gave a lecture in Flatbush, Rabbi Gurevich of Chabad, and he held open my Rakafet Aaron, and the whole lecture was on the Cleves Getz, and he sent it to me, and very nice lecture, but he thinks it's my doctorate. I just wrote to him, Sherry just sent out an email, my doctorate is on Bernard Revel. This was a master's, which I did under Agus. Now, Agus liked to say shocking things. They're legendary stories of the yeshiva in the 50s, which if you're good, I'll clue you in, but you got to earn it. It's not ready the first lecture to give away such stories. But he used to say shocking things. So one time, we're juniors in college taking his class, and he says, we can reconstruct the entire history of the Jewish people. And I said, Professor Agus, how can you reconstruct? What, are you going to go in a time machine, go back 1,000 years, 2,000 years? And he thundered at me from sponsor literature. And I have to tell you, as a junior in college, I didn't appreciate what he was saying. As an old man today who's beaten the statistics and became a shutsnik 2 minutes ago, I can tell you Professor Agus was absolutely right, and I ask his forgiveness. Do you follow me, Yitzchak?
Chaim Soloveitchik has the same
comment. Well, Chaim Soloveitchik is my classmate. We're a later generation. But you, and you'll see later. Okay, now, let me begin in Yonadi Yoma. Here, this is a recent issue of a very wonderful magazine, Jewish Action. You all recognize Jewish Action. The OU puts it out. I'm holding in my hand the spring 2018 issue. And here there's an article, My Minyan Odyssey, by Effie Zinkin, as told to Bela Sheva Brenner. And what's the article about? He had to say Kaddish. And he writes about, then it dawned upon me, Kaddish, and what Kaddish means, and now he has to double with a minyan 3 times a day. And his whole life changed until today because he had to say Kaddish. I'll go a step further. Rabbi Rubin just mentioned the classmate of mine, you call him Doc Brach, I know him as Chaim Soloveitchik, my Rebbe's only son. Fine. Wonderful. Recreating. Let's mention another classmate of ours, world famous, Chief Rabbi of Efrat. Give me his name. No, what did Rabbi Shlomo Riskin, we knew him as Steve, we knew him as the Boy Wonder, right or wrong? You've heard or heard, you've heard of Rabbi Riskin. How did Rabbi Riskin become Rabbi Riskin? No, I'm offering a prize if anyone can tell me. Lincoln Square. A guy walks into the shul, he has to say Kaddish, Maariv time. And Rabbi Riskin goes over to him and says, can I help you? You know, Rabbi Riskin, outreach, this is open a sitter, help him find the place. A Jew walks in, he says, no, I know how to say Kaddish. You don't have to worry, I know the sitter. And Rabbi Riskin sees this guy, makes an appointment. You know this story or not? Riskin comes late. The guy finds him. I think Riskin had to pay him money because he came late to the meeting. He says, Rabbi, let me teach you the value of time. And over that Kaddish, this man was Sanford Bernstein, known to you as Zalman Bernstein, first cousin to my student Chucky Bernstein, Zichrona Levracha. Stanford knew Zalman Bernstein. The New York Times did articles in the magazine section. I never saw an article in the New York Times on Aaron Rakefet working for the Mossad and Rabbi. I never saw such an article.
Avichai
Foundation. The man was raised properly, but like millions of other Jews, he threw away Kol HaTorah Kula. But he had to say Kaddish. Kaddish. Underline the word Kaddish. And he wandered into Lincoln Square, and he became a devotee of Rabbi Riskin. He came back to Yiddishkeit through this college, B'leiv V'Nefesh, and went on to become the Avichai Foundation, leaving billions of dollars to be distributed. They still haven't gotten rid of all the money in his will. It said, I knew him. Character par excellence, but a from Jew, a billionaire, an unbelievable mind, and he left in the will, within 20 years, all the money has to be spent. Yitzchak, check it out. I think it's more than 20 years already, and they still can't get rid of all the money he left for good causes. All right. Kaddish. Vic, you are a knowledgeable Jew. You're not a Baal Tshuva. You've been from your parents, your grandparents. What an important family snow. I don't know who his uncle was. Jack. His uncle was one of the greatest Rosh Yeshiva in Chaim Berlin. Rabbi Snow is a legendary name. Vic, show me where Kaddish is written in the Torah, the Mishnah, or the Gemara. I challenge you. No? Rabbi Reuben, experienced rabbi, chaplain, Chester, Pennsylvania, Westchester, Pennsylvania. Show me where Kaddish is written in the Torah. Yomo, no, Torah, Mishnah, Gemara. It's an amazing thing. One of the most important facets of our life, Kaddish, there's no source for it.
Well, the story about
Yitzchak. Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevorach, what does it have to do with Kaddish? What does it have to do with the dead? It's a schut to praise God's name. And it's an amazing thing. Kaddish, which is so important, and in the years, over the decades, in this very kollel, I taught students whose parents became frum through saying Kaddish, walking into a shul, and a rabbi greeted them, and that's how they became frum. And you take a look, where are the sources? Okay, there is no question that Kaddish resembles Simchas Torah. Vic, give me one source in the Torah for Simchas Torah. And Simchas Torah may be the most important date on our calendar. Yomo, can you tell the class why? No? You're Russian. You're Ukraine. It's very simple. Under the communist Simchas Torah, tens of thousands of Jews would gather at the shuls. Wasn't that unbelievable? Simchas Torah. What's the source? Where did it begin? Who heard of a Simchas Torah? Who heard? Did you? Where do you come from?
Atlanta.
Atlanta, Georgia. Did you read the Torah at night? Simchas Torah night? Rabbi Feldman Shul, which we're talking about. Rabbi Feldman. You read the Torah at night. Show me one source how you're allowed to read Torah at night. Shabbat, when do we read the Torah? The sun is shining. Monday, Thursday, when do we read the Torah? The sun is shining. Rosh Chodesh, when do we read the Torah? It's an amazing thing. You read the Torah at night. Three aliyahs, five aliyahs, different than Hagim. Where did this come from? Rebbeinu Shalom. Herbie, did you get an aliyah on Simchas Torah?
No, I never get an aliyah.
What do you mean you never get an aliyah? Cut it out. In Simchas Torah, everyone in Baruch Hashem, Herbie woke up. Yomo, everyone gets an aliyah. Brachas Levatala, whoever heard, how many aliyah do you have in Yontif? Five aliyah. Take a look what goes on Simchas Torah. Then call on Arim, you call up all the kids. A kid, 11 years old, makes a bracha. Gentlemen, it could very well be that some of the most important facets of the way we live Torah today are really from the people, from Am Yisrael, from Minhag, from what we developed. And Kaddish and Simchas Torah are very similar. They are classmates.
So you go back to Dr. Agus.
We'll see how Dr.
He suggested that.
You can learn the history, but these are halachic concepts today that begin with minhag, pure minhag. All right, now the question that Rav Menashe Klein was asked is very fascinating. It's very fascinating, first of all, who asked him the question. Ah, my dear students, yeshiva tells, you have no idea, this was once the most prominent yeshiva outside of Yeshiva University in the United States. Yeshiva Tells began, two of the Rashi Yeshiva were here. We're in the United States raising funds for Tells in Europe, Rab Elia Meir Bloch and Rab Muttel Katz, Rab Mordechai Katz. You know, Jack, you know who his stepson is, Label Katz.
Label,
who davens in the Shtiblach. You don't know? You, Herb, you know.
I'm very friendly.
Okay, that's the stepson. That's when Reb Muttel Katz is. These people were caught in America. They couldn't go back to Europe. Rabbi Revel turned to them, and Rabbi Revel asked them to become Rosh Yeshiva in YU. Rabbi Revel had a special affinity for Yeshiva Tells. The reason is very simple. Rabbi Revel was autodidactic. He never attended a yeshiva. He was self-taught. His father was a shtat rav. He sat in the Beis Medrash in Kovna. He had a photographic memory. But the one time he went to yeshiva was for 6 months he studied in Telz. So Rabbi Revel always had a certain love for Telz. It reflects in certain things he did, which I'll talk more when my new book comes out. But coming back here, he wanted Rabbi Bloch and Rabbi Katz to come to YU and come, Ed, we'll need more Rashi Yeshiva, the yeshiva's expanding. They turned him down. And finally, they realized they cannot go back to Europe, and they opened up a new Telz in Cleveland. And that Telz in the 50s and the 60s into the 70s was a very famous yeshiva. Nowadays, Telz in Cleveland is not what it used to be. It's a family institution, and once Rabbi Baruch Strutzkin died, Rabbi Mordechai Gifter died, the family people were not on the level to compete with Mir, with Lakewood, with Baltimore, with Mir in Israel, with the other yeshiva in Israel. And there are two branches of Telz that are very successful today. One is in Riverdale and one is in Chicago. But at one time, Cleveland was a tremendous institution, a tremendous pull. Now, what's amazing is when they had a She'elah, they turned to Reb Menashe Klein. So it shows you, here are Litvakin, here are Telz. And Telz, I had a Rebbe from Telz, Reb Shmuel Lezer Volk, and Telz was a certain gaiva, but when they had a shiva, they turned to Reb Menashe Klein, and this is the 1980s. It's very, very, or I should say, the tshuva here, I'm holding the wrong tshuva in my hand. This is what we did, excuse me for 1 second. The tshuva here is from the 1980s, 1985, I'm correct. Okay, now, this tshuva you can find in Mishnah Halachot, Chelek Tetvav, Siman Chaf Hey. And it's 1985, as I said, and a Talmud is turning to Rav Menashe Klein, but in the start of the tshuva, he writes that the Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Chaim Stein, asked him to write to Rav Menashe Klein, and that they're willing to accept whatever he will paskin in the Shelah. Now that too is very interesting. Rav Chaim Stein was an alter Telzer, went through the hell of the war, running away from Hitler. I yet met him, I yet spoken learning with him. He died, it's not many years ago. His son died recently, one of his sons. He, to bring it into the YU circle, he is a mechutin with Rav David Lifshitz. You've heard of the Tzuvalka Rav. Rav David's daughter, one of his daughters, married Rav Chaim Stein. I think it's the youngest daughter. If I'm not mistaken, Chaim Waxman is married to the middle daughter, and the eldest daughter is married to Reb Nosson Kamenetsky. And this is a YU connection. And this was Telz. This is the glory of Telz. The Shaila is very interesting. And here you come to something, you have to see it to believe it. Kaddish has become very, very important today. Tell me, Jack, you davened in the Shtiblach this morning? How many people said Kaddish together? 5, 6?
That's a relative.
All right, at the Minyan, 5, 6 people. Yitzchak, in your shul in Westchester, you had 4 different people saying Kaddish. They said Kaddish together? Do you know that according to the original minhag, and you can trace it through the Magen Avraham, I'll give you sources later, this is absolutely, totally forbidden. Who heard so many people saying Kaddish together? What are you talking about? Who davens for the Amid? Vic, you davened at a minyan this morning in your downstairs minyan. Vic has no, gets no schar for going to minyan. He forgets the elevator, what is it, 5 flights down, and he opens the door there, and there's the minyan right in the building. It's Israel, you're Baruch Hashem, right in the building. I was there, I saw. Everyone said, tell me, the Kaddish, who says Baruch Hu? Everyone or one person? You have a Baal Tefillah, the Baal Tefillah, Kaddish, Baruch Hu. Who ever heard of something? 5, 6 people saying Kaddish. You have minyanim that you can, I call it a, if I daven at a minyan and no one says Kaddish, I say this is a real minyan. But you have minyanim where 20, 30, 40 people are saying Kaddish. Wow. The original minhag, who's been to England? Who's been to London? Did you daven in monks' shul in London, what they call monks, gold is green. Next time you go to England, Aaron White is in England now, he's on his way. Next time you go to England, you go into monk's shul and you will see the original minhag, one Kaddish per person.
That's a yekid.
The yekids retain it. Originally, it seems all Jews, one Kaddish at a time. And in monk's shul, they stand the guy up front, he says Kaddish. Guy, Aleinu, Shir Shalom, another guy comes up front, he says Kaddish, one person, one Kaddish.
Tel Aviv, they have a show.
The Yekis continue with until today. You're talking, that's a Hoich Yekid, you can't get more Yekid than him. You know the story with my grandson, with my son-in-law. He gave me a gift, the Sefer. I gave it to my son-in-law, because my son-in-law is of interest in that field. My son wrote a thank you note. He addressed it Harav. He refused to accept the letter. He's not Harav. So I told my son-in-law, write Hechaver. That letter he accepted. You know about the, you know what I'm talking about? Oh boy. You'll be okay. At the end of the year, you'll say you've achieved. The Yekis, they had 3 different titles. Hechaver. A plain guy is called up, Reb, nothing, you're not. But if you hit the age of 30 and you're a frum Jew, they honor you with the title Hechaver. And you make a big Kiddush. If you're a Talmud Chacham and a Rab, it's Morenu Hechaver HaRav. You follow me? But that's Yeki land. But they're Makpid until today. This was the original Halacha. Who heard of 2 people saying Baruch Hu? Who heard of 20 people saying Kaddish? Who heard of 100 people being saying the tefillah over Kedusha? It's one chazan, one person. But now, could you imagine Rabbi Reuben is rabbi in Westchester, Rabbi Rothkopf is rabbi in Lower Merion or in Beth Ephraim? Could you imagine 2 balabatim have to say Kaddish? And I'm going to try to tell them, you say this, you can't say, you'll say the next one. Then all you need are 5 Kaddish suggers, and you have to add on Pirkei Tehillim. The Balabatim are going to go crazy. Tircha de Tzibura. Gentlemen, you don't realize it's unbelievable that we changed the minhag. I'm Yisrael. Today no one asked you, you want to say Kaddish. Lehefech. When I come into shul, I say Kaddish for my grandparents. There's no one else alive to say for my grandparents. So I say for my grandparents. When I say for my grandparents, I announce in advance it's not a chiyuv, it's a minhag. Why am I doing that? Because people hear me say Kaddish. Right away they go, oh, who's the yahrzeit for? Your mother, your father? You understand? You have to give a lekach, a kiddush, a sudat hilula. No, it's for my grandparents. Don't get upset. Don't start worrying. You don't owe me anything. Got to give me an aliyah. What do you do if there's a Kohen Levi and they only have 1 Yisrael aliyah? So you see, Kaddish, it's unbelievable. Something that became so important really begins with minhag. And according to the original minhag, one person, one Kaddish. Okay, now there's another side to the coin. In the Kollel here, there used to be a student many years ago. He said Kaddish every day, and he had a whole list in front of him. Why did he say Kaddish? Why you was getting paid? These are people who have no one to say Kaddish for them. And either there's the famous story the Rav told, and I write it up in the Rav in my work on Rebbe. So Rebbe told us that when he was a young rabbi in Boston, so this lady would come in and count out every week, give him a quarter towards a plaque to be put up after she dies. And the Rav said that a quarter was a lot of money then, and this is a simple lady, a poor lady. It's not the way we can throw money around today. Baruch Hashem, the average Jew in Jerusalem is a millionaire. He take his dirah and his savings, he's a millionaire. So those days, the Rav said to her, why are you struggling so? Why is this so important? So she said, Rebbe, I see my children have nothing to do with Yiddishkeit. When I die, no one will remember me. At least if I have a plaque in the synagogue, someone will say Kaddish and say Yiska for me. Very interesting response. Tell me, you hire people to say Kaddish. This young man who studied in the Kollel, he teaches today in HaKotel, he was an orphan. I don't know if he was, I know he didn't have a father. So he could say Kaddish. And he was paid by the yeshiva for saying Kaddish and saying a prayer after davening with all the names for whom he was saying Kaddish. Now, what is this concept of saying Kaddish? I want to ask you a different question. Vic, a balabas will come over to you in the rabbinate, and he'll say to you, Rabbi, it's the Christmas rush, I'm very busy now, I have to get to my store very early, I don't have time to daven. Rabbi, do me a favor, put on tefillin, take them off, put on tefillin for me, have kavanah for me, and say Shema, and say it should be a schut for Aaron Cohn, who owns this liquor store and is busy before Christmas. No? Can you put on tefillin for someone else? Why not? Alright, that's a mitzvah of the gavra. What? It's taluy in you. How can I become your body? I'll give you another example. A lady will come to another lady. I'm too busy to go to mikveh. Do me a favor. Here's $100. Go to mikveh for me. So Kaddish, I don't understand. What's happening here? Yeshivas make a fortune. People hire them. This goes on all over the world. People make a living out of being a Kaddish Sugga, it was called when I was growing up. How can I say Kaddish for someone? But you see, Kaddish is different. It's not tefillin. It's not going to mikveh. It's not taking a lulav and etrog. Yomo says to me, the lulav pinches my fingers. I can't. My skin is sensitive. No, take lulav and etrog from me. Here's $18. Hide some leban. It's no good. I can't take lulav and etrog from. But Kaddish, what is the greatness of Kaddish? Yehesh me rabba mavorach li'olam li'om me'om maya. The praise of God, that someone is praising God in the world. So here, it's shayach to say, look, I hire someone to say Kaddish, but it's a schut for my father, for my mother, for the people I'm saying that he's saying Kaddish for, because as a result of my hiring him, God's name is being praised in the world. Follow me, Yitzchak?
This is a very good article by way back, Leo Young.
Well, I'm going to cite the solar pool is the source of everything. I'll tell you, I'll get there, but let me get... Yeah. He did his doctorate on Kaddish. But you have to understand what I just said, because otherwise it's nonsensical. Why does it make sense? I'm hiring someone to say Kaddish, but all right, you're hiring someone to say Kaddish, so more people hear you. Hey, Shmei Rabba Mavarach Li'olam Li'olmei Olmaya Yit Barach. More people. You follow me? Let me take down your name. I see a good anxious face. Willing to play. What, name?
Ready?
Yeah.
Simon. Italiander. I-T-A-L.
I-T-A-L.
I. A-A-N-D-E-R.
Italiander. Wow, Italiander. 1 second. And you have Italian roots? Where does the name come from?
It means Italian men in Dutch.
Italian men in Dutch.
Uh-huh.
So 1 second, you daven Nusach Spanish Portuguese, or you're Ashkenazi already?
No, my dad's called Jew, but only like 10, 12, 15 years ago, so we're Litvish.
So 1 second, your dad, so you daven Ashkenaz,
yeah.
The rabbi's Ashkenaz. They're tshuvot about that. You have every right to follow the Rav who made you from, etc., etc. But your dad is not a, I don't like the word Baal tshuva. I can. No. I can be a Baal tshuva. Jack can be a Baal tshuva. Yitzchak can be a Baal tshuva. Because we're from all our lives. Your dad discovered his roots, the blood in his veins. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Follow me?
Yeah. Well, that's a much nicer way to put it.
That, no, that's why. So, and I want to compliment you because you were a kid at the time and it was not too shocking for you. You went along. You understand this is always a problem. When someone becomes a Baal tshuva in their 40s, 50s, sometimes the kids laugh at their parents. You know, you want to be a crazy Jew? That's your privilege. We enjoy living like President Trump and President Clinton and President Kennedy. Follow me? I don't have to elaborate.
No, I wasn't as young as me either. I gave him a hard time.
What you had? What?
We gave him a hard time at first. Yeah.
Okay. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. The Kane Hala. We'll work on your last name, but Simon is easy, Baruch Hashem. All right. So you see what I'm saying? That there can be a concept, you know, you're paying someone to say Kaddish. Sometimes you have no choice. There's no child. There's no one else. You want to have Kaddish. It increases the glory of God in the world. All right, now, this is the question. What is the question? In Tel's yeshiva, the minhag was, and mind you, this is all minhag. No one in the world can show you a source for this. In Tel's yeshiva, the minhag was that only one person said Kaddish. In addition to the chiyuvim, people who really had a chiyuv, their father is dead, their mother is dead. In addition to the chiyuvim, there was what's called the yeshivish kaddish, Kaddish HaYeshiva. What was the Kaddish HaYeshiva? It was a Kaddish said for all the people who paid money to the yeshiva that Kaddish should be set for them. Fine. So you'll divide up the Kaddish. This is fine. But what happened was the person who was hired in the yeshiva, evidently a student, he said Kaddish for all these people, and while he was saying Kaddish HaYeshiva and doing what the yeshiva requested of him, suddenly a parent died. And not only is he saying Kaddish for all the people who paid money to the yeshiva, and the yeshiva hired him as a student to say this Kaddish and pray for them, but he's also saying Kaddish for his parent. How is he allowed to do it? Can he do it? Fascinating question. The minhag of the yeshiva was one Kaddish per person, and if you're saying Kaddish for a parent, you can't be the one to say the Kaddish for the yeshiva people. Zelichud v'zelichud.
The Kaddish is a comparably recent thing. It has nothing to do with the rabbinic.
Well, that's what I said. This is exactly what the question was. That in the yeshiva, one Kaddish, and if you're saying Kaddish already, you cannot be the one to say for the yeshiva people who are paying the yeshiva so that they should be remembered. And here what happened was, in the middle of his saying Kaddish, in the middle of the year, let's say at Chodesh Tishrei Elul, they said to him, you don't have a mother, you can say Kaddish. Say Kaddish, we're paying you X dollars a month. Say a prayer afterwards for all these names. In the middle of the year, his father dies. He now becomes a chiyuv on his own. And the minig was, someone who has his own chiyuv is not allowed to say the Kaddish of the yeshiva. And this was the question that came up. Now, again, this is a question that you have no sources for. And
there's something missing here.
Why?
I can just find somebody else.
No, this guy is getting paid. He doesn't want to give up his kazaka. There's money involved. There's money. That's what I'm alluding to. He's getting money. The yeshiva's paying him. The fellow, I still remember when he left here to study, when he got smicha, and he left here to study in Yeshiva HaKotel's Kolel, I take a look. Checks are coming in for him every month, and they don't know what to do with it. I said, you got to contact me in Yeshiva HaKotel. If he's still saying Kaddish, you got to give him these checks. You follow? So I don't say the yeshiva, let's say the yeshiva gets $100 a month for the people that are saying Kaddish, so they give this guy $25. In other words, I don't say they give him all the money, but there's money involved. And this is the minhag. Now, I want to ask you, logically speaking, what do you say? Can you say Kaddish for 2 people, 10 people, 100 people? Tell me, there's a Sigyune Reuven, Daf Mem Amid Bet. Let's say it's Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, or let me give a better example. Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, right, that's a good example. The Gemara actually talks about that there. Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, you have to say Kedushat Hayom for both in Musaf. Do we say Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoteinu twice, or do we say it once? We are Baruch Atah Hashem B'Kadesh HaShabbat Yisrael B'Rosh Roshei Chadashim. We end off M'Kadesh HaShabbos V'Yisrael V'Hazmanim. In other words, when we have dual Kedusha, let's say it's Shavuos Shabbos, let's say it's Sukkot Shabbat, and we're davening Musaf, let's say it's Pesach Shabbat, and we're davening Musaf, you have to mention both Kedushat, Elokeinu Elokeinu Avoteinu, Ritzei V'Achlitzeinu V'Chulu. Do we say it twice? And then in off, Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbat. Then we say it again, and we say Mekadesh Yisrael V'Hazmanim. No, we say it once, and we mention both Kedushat together. So Rav Menashe Klein says that's a simple proof that you can say Kaddish for many different people. You can say one prayer and it counts for Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos. It counts for Yontif and Shabbos. Ne'li echad, ne'li mea. Isn't that the expression in rabbinic literature? Ne'li echad, ne'li mea. Guy can say Kaddish, saying for his family, saying for the shul. Why should there be any problem whatsoever? And with simple thinking, it would appear that let the guy continue. He's getting paid. It's parnasa for him. He needs the parnasa. Mekadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim, Mekadesh Yisrael v'rashay chadashim. All right, Shabbat we say first, because Shabbat is Mekudeshet from the time of creation. It doesn't need Am Yisrael. But the holidays, Rosh, this is the Gemara I'm paraphrasing, but the holidays and Rosh Chodesh, Mekadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim. So one can count for 2. One can count for 3. You don't have to make any other additions. You don't have to repeat yourself. Certainly a person saying Kaddish, Yeheshmei Rabba Mavarach Li'olam Li'olmei Omaya, it can count for all the people who gave money to the yeshiva. It can count for your father. It can count for your mother. You're increasing Kedushat Hashem, the greatness of God's name in the world. So I have to tell you, logically speaking, that should be absolutely correct. But you see, you're dealing here with minhag. And Rav Chaim Stein already paskened that the minhag in the yeshiva is person saying Kaddish for the yeshiva people, the contributors, the tormim, you can't say for anyone else. And Rav Chaim Stein paskin that once he has to say Kaddish for his father and mother, he can't say the yeshiva shekaddish. Evidently what happened was the students who had Lithuanian minds probably said to Rav Chaim Stein, "I don't understand you." And they quoted the Lumdus I just quoted. And this is why they turned to Rav Menashe Klein. So Rav Menashe Klein says, yes, logically speaking, he should be able to say for everyone. But since it's a question of minhag, and this is the minhag of the yeshiva, I cannot interfere. It would seem to me, continue your minhag. Now, how do we know about Kaddish? What are the sources? Well, you want to find out the history of Kaddish. You can turn to the Encyclopedia Judaica, you can turn to David the Solar Pool, wherever you turn to. The earliest reference to Kaddish is in Masechet Sofrim. I'm quoting to you Masechet Sofrim, Perek Tshii. I have the unedited edition, I have what appears in Shas. The edited edition would be the Higger edition where they subdivide it. But here, it's really, everything is put together. It's Halacha Zion. The subdivision is a little hard to come by. But when you look at a Halacha Zion, the Ein Omrim Kaddish Baruch Hu Pachat Me Asara. Wow. First time that Kaddish is mentioned as a formal part of davening. And this is the source. When you go to David the Solar Pool and you look into his doctorate, the Kaddish, I Xeroxed it, this is what Yitzchak was referring to, the Kaddish by David the Solar Pool. Simon David de Solar Pool, who was he? Rabbi Doctor, Spanish-Portuguese synagogue. In modern times, the 20th century, he was the most famous rabbi. It's very interesting that afterwards they replaced him with an Ashkenazi person, Rabbi Gerstein, who was a seminary graduate but was from. After Rabbi Gerstein, I don't know if I'm skipping a rabbi, but it goes to a yeshiva graduate, once again a Sfardi, Rabbi Mark Angel. After Rabbi Mark Angel, it goes to a Soloveitchik, once again an Ashkenazi, Rabbi Meir Yaakov. Do I have it right? Meir Yaakov, Meir's before the Yaakov, Rabbi Meir Yaakov Soloveitchik, who is a grandson of Rabbaram Soloveitchik. So that's the Spanish-Portuguese synagogue. I understand that they have a Svadik Chachaman staff to answer any questions of their minhag and anything that has to do that's purely Spanish-Portuguese. Now, David the Solar Pool was trained in England and he did his doctorate on the Kaddish. And if you go to page 101, he tries to trace the Kaddish from the Masechet Sofrim, from that little mention, how does Kaddish become so important? And here I have to say, it's theory, but it's theory that's pretty sound, that the Jews went through hell with the Crusades, with the expulsion from Spain, from Portugal, hundreds of thousands of Jews ultimately die. People needed to feel solace, comfort, nechama. And the Kaddish became very important at that time.
It's
so
like
it's correct. And all of a good deal of Gemilat Chesed is psychological. Nichamavel, Hachnoset Kala, Halvayat Hameit. It's a good deal of Gemilat Chesed is psychological. And that's his theory, that during that period, the Kaddish became very widespread. You took something that already began in Masechet Sofrim, which is before the Gaonic period, or at the start of the Gaonic period, and it became extremely widespread. And that's his theory. It makes a lot of sense. And until we can do more research or have more sources to depend upon, I would say that that's absolutely correct.
Where did he do his doctorate?
In England. It was done in England. You want to know?
They didn't have Greeks to come in as
a home. Listen, England, it was done, let's see if they tell you here, Heidelberg University. He graduated the University of London and Jews College. And later did his doctorate at Heidelberg University.
So what did they have?
Well, he studied under Epstein. He studied under some very fine individuals. Right. So you can't put down. He quotes...
Was there to challenge you.
Now, I'll give you another place for sources. If you take the Otsa Agada, which was put out by Moshe Rav Kook, and it's an excellent tool for finding sources. If you look up Kaddish, you'll see all the Gemaras are cited, that the Gemara, this is all from Brachot, B'shash Yisrael nichnasin levate kinesiyatu levate midrashat ve'onim yehesh mei rabba mavarach HaKadosh Baruch Hu menaneh rosho v'yamah Ashrei melech shemakalsin oto beveito. You follow? And a Gemara like that shows you the importance of yehesh mei rabba, that to our Ribbono Shel Olam, it quotes another Gemara, Kol ha'oneh amen yehesh mei rabba mavarech bal kacha korim lo gezadino. All the punishments against him will be removed. And you go on and on in that source, and you find endless references to Kaddish, but no concept yet of a formal Kaddish in davening. If anything, from the Gemara, the only place they would say Kaddish is Kaddish the Rabbanon. And the truth of the matter is that after every Shayur, you can get up and say Kaddish the Rabbanon. And what is Kaddish the Rabbanon? I always say that's my favorite Kaddish. It's a prayer for the teachers of Torah, the students of Torah, Talmidim, V'Talmidim, V'Talmidei Talmidim, V'Yatra Hadein, V'Kom Makom, Atra Kadesha Hadein. There's a story from the Mossad, I can tell you. I just said it. So you all know, again, I have to go into detail. All of you know me, and 10 years of our life, we worked a dual existence, as Yitzchak can testify, a normal existence and a clandestine existence, working communist Russia. So you were never allowed to tell the people in Russia that you were from Israel. That was a no-no. When you went to Russia, so you would stop in Paris or London, whichever way the Mossad was sending you, and their agents met you there and took away all your Israeli identity and gave you a whole American identity, including, remember, gave you documents as if you went on the plane.
Do you believe with my name on it?
Yeah, no.
I don't know how they did that.
Yeah, the Mossad, for the Mossad, that's Ktanim. Anyway.
As if we flew from
JFK. You follow, Simon? If we flew from JFK to Paris or to London, we had the boarding passes, stamped, everything. So now in Israel, you're never allowed to mention you're from America. Yeah, from Israel. You had to say that you're an American touring Israel, you pretend to settle. So now someone was saying Kaddish, one of our shluchim. And he said automatically, Ba'atra Kadisha Hadain. And a Russian Jew, this is Nishtibl in the big shul in Achapova Street, a Russian Jew heard him, picked it up. Oh, this is an Eretz Yisrael dikka. This guy is from Israel. Could you imagine? And we had to, you know, deny it. But how do you come to say...
He was one of the security people, the Russian security people.
The KGB, don't give them that much credit. This was the Shtibel Chamishiyah. But I would ask, with all that's being said about Kaddish and all the sources and David the Solar Pool, so you'll see a very interesting source. David the Solar Pool says, if there's no male to say Kaddish, a woman can say Kaddish. All right? Tell me, do we accept this? And this becomes a very pertinent question today.
It's a conservative...
Herbie, relax. First, I want to give you two more sources now. You will recognize the Rav, Volume 2. Okay? I never realized how important that work was, but I saw in America, I read the Baruch Hashem. Page 36. I'm quoting here from Dr. Joel B. Wolowatzki. Anyone recognize who I'm quoting? Joel Wolowatzki? He's, is this on?
Am I?
He's a principal at Flatbush. But I trust he's still, again, he's no youngster, I trust he's still teaching.
It's on,
yeah? Make it a little louder then. Drop louder. Okay. About 15 years ago, the issue of permitting a woman to recite Kaddish came up in an out-of-town chapter of Yavna. And I asked a board member, who was one of Rabbi J.B. Soloveitchik's students, to put the question to the Rav. He wrote me, quote, "I spoke with the Rav about the question you asked concerning a girl saying Kaddish. He told me that he remembers being in Vilna and at the Gaon's Klois, which was in one of your modern Orthodox shuls, and a woman came into the back. There was no Ezrath Nashim, and said Kaddish after Maariv. I asked him whether it would make a difference if someone was saying it along with her or not. And he replied that he could see no objection in either case. An advisory board member subsequently confirmed that this was the Rav's opinion. Recently, I heard a number of people who recalled similar incidents of women saying Kaddish in pre-war Lithuania." So here, first of all, you have the Rav. I need not tell you, for me at least, that says everything. I can tell you, I mentioned Chucky Bernstein before. Remember I said Zichrono Livracha. Chucky was married to a young lady, I believe from Rivendell. Maiden name was Adler. I believe her first name was Roberta. So one time, Friday night at the Kotel, she was standing behind the men's section on top, and she said Kaddish, and I answered to her Kaddish. And to the dying day, she blessed me that I answered to her Kaddish. Unfortunately, Chucky and his wife were killed in a car accident on the Arava boat coming home. You don't remember this? Loa Lenu, a couple with young children. They were killed either Cholamoid, I believe it was Cholamoid Sukkos, coming back from a lot. Terrible, terrible tragedy. But I always remember how thankful she was for my common courtesy in answering Yeheshme Rabba to Hakadosh. But I'll give you another source with a very interesting concept here, which opens an entire halakhic question that you can do a master's thesis on for sure, could be even a doctorate. What I'm holding, Old Yisrael Yosef Beni Chai. Anyone recognize this? Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik had a terrible tragedy. He had a grandson who died before his bar mitzvah, Yisrael Yosef Soloveitchik, the son of Reb Moshe Soloveitchik, who lived in Boston, lived in Chicago with Reb Aaron. Reb Aaron had two of his sons living in Chicago, Reb Moshe and Reb Eliyahu. Reb Moshe is still in Chicago, Reb Eliyahu is now at Lander College, and the tragedy of the grandson. The tragedy is greater than you think. Again, I ask you to remember, he had cancer, and they did everything to try to save the kid's life. And Reb Aaron was very attached to this grandson. And the idea came up to do a very difficult surgery, some heroic concept. And the mother was opposed, and the father was in favor. Do you remember this? And they went to court, and the judge broke down and cried. It's written up in the New York Times, in the Sunday paper where they deal with law, was the case of the week. The judge broke down and cried, and he said, "I would have to be as wise as King Solomon to give an answer to this question." But he finally ruled in favor of the mother. She's the mother, and she feels the child should die in peace and not be tortured anymore. Well, it's a very sad, sad story. It broke up their marriage afterwards. Subsequently, I know Reb Moshe remarried. I don't know about the wife. She was the daughter of Rabbi Faskowitz. It's a very sad story. But one sad story leads to another, because we Jews have suffered, not only as humans, but as Jews. The story I just told you was a human tragedy. Reb Aaron wanted to do something in his grandson's memory, so he put out a sefer, and as Herbie said, it's psychological, but it helps you feel better. He put out a sefer with chidushim, Ol Yosef Yisrael ben Chai, chidushim ubiyurim behilchat aveilot meyat Aaron ben Moreno Harav Reb Moshe Halevi Soloveitchik. Who helped him put out the sefer? Who edited it? Reb Aaron already was in a wheelchair, was crippled, had major health problems. Reb David Yaakov Halevi Applebaum, Hashem Yikom Damo. So now you understand why I said it was a Jewish tragedy. David and his daughter Nava were killed the night before her wedding after she went to mikveh. And this Thursday, is the Yahrzeit. Hashem Yikom Damo. I'll be at the cemetery. Be'ezrat Hashem. It's how many years? It's a good question. It's 14, 15, mashahu, because it's a lot of years already. So Reb Aaron raises this problem. Why I feel I'm not getting any juice. One second.
It's on.
It's on.
Maybe hold the microphone closer to you.
No.
Something wrong.
Let's see. Okay, now it's working. You see, something watched the attachment there. I wish I could hook it direct. Okay, let's come back here. Here, a quoting on page Kuf, page 100 of this volume in memory of his grandson. V'nira achshav, shekam anashim v'nashim Yisrael lochamim biyad shaveik anashim liumat anashim and he says, it appears to me in contemporary times where the women's lib movement is so strong and people are fighting that women should get aliyot to Torah, im kein im harabanim hacharedim yemani sham eloma kadesh b'mokom sheyesh nefsharet shal yedei ze titrabeh hashpa'a shal harabanim hashamranim reformim as asulim noah ba miloma kadesh. So you see, Reb Aaron Soloveitchik says, in contemporary times where they're demanding equal rights for the women in shul and men and women are equal and there's no discrimination, there's no difference,
If this is the case, if we're going to stop women from saying Kaddish, it will make the conservative movement and the reform movement all the stronger. He uses the word Shamranim. Shamranim is a literal translation of the word conservative. I don't know if it really applies. Today in modern Hebrew, they use the word conservative, transliterated. If you read the newspapers, you'll see transliteration, conservative. Shamranim is a literal translation, but it doesn't figuratively capture it. But Rav Aaron says, you'll make the reforming conservative all the bigger, all the stronger, allow women to say Kaddish, don't interfere. Now you notice, this is a little different than what the Rav said. The Rav is quoted as saying, I remember in Europe, they allowed women to say Kaddish, even in the synagogue proper. I remember that from my youth, that in back of the shul, sometimes women would come in and stand in back and say Kaddish. So the Rav says, living testimony, Rav Aaron raises a different problem. Mayom Ru HaGayim, or here it's Mayom Ru HaReforming Conservative, the women's libis, or what they call, the world calls neo-orthodoxy, but Rav Kefet refuses to call it that. He calls it neoconservatism.
Is there anything in the Raisa or in the Rabbanan that says anything in this topic?
What I on the right, there's nothing on Kaddish, but here we're talking great Rabbanim. There's plenty to talk about, but
there's nothing listed in the
right. What do you mean? The right, a woman is not chayevit mitzvah pasei shazman grama.
Rabbinically speaking,
the women, it's just elaborated what women are obligated and what they're not obligated. It's a whole machlokes rishonim. If a woman can say,
if they want to do it, is there anything to prohibit?
Nothing prohibits a woman from doing what they want to do, but it has to, can they make a bracha? It's a machlokes. If you're an Ashkenazi, she can make a bracha. If you're a Svadia, you can't make a bracha. It's an amazing thing. If you see you're a daughter of Rabbi Ovadia Yosef, your davening is a lot shorter than if you're a Rav Soloveitchik, I'll put it that way. But there's plenty of material. But here I'm raising a different issue altogether. How much do we have to worry halachically about reform and conservative? You follow? And this feeds down in 1,000 different variations in the 20th and 21st century. A simple example, someone comes to you, Rabbi, convert me. And you say, what do you mean? You want to convert? You want to be a Jew? Shabbat, Kashrut, Tarat Mishpacha, davening, and all that goes with it. The guy, the woman or the man says, we're not interested in all that. Oh, if you don't convert me, I'm going next door to the conservative rabbi, to the reform rabbi. This is halacha l'maisa going on today. Can we take a more lenient point of view to avoid enhancing the reform conservative movement? This shaila comes up time and again.
Look,
you can't. It's not easy to give you a one-word answer, but we have to be true to halacha. We can't bend the halacha just because they're going to go to reform and conservative. On the other hand, you have to have seichel. If the story that circulated in Israel, that woman converted, then they saw her walking in a supermarket with pants, and they wanted to retroactively nullify the conversion. I can't believe the story is true, but people tell me it is. I mean, that's idiocy. The woman converted, all right, she's wearing pants. Rabbi Shlomo, Rav Ovadia ruled better to wear pants than to wear a short skirt. The Rav permitted pantsuits in Stern College. All right, it didn't catch on. But the Rav said, halachically, he doesn't see what's wrong with it, as long as it's made sneistically, not tight. All right, this is the fashion women wear today. And fashion plays a big role. What sneers plays a big role in what we consider fashionable. Meaning, you have to look where you're living, the surrounding people. Women today began in Beit Shemesh, carried a little bit to Yerushalayim, that they cover their whole bodies like Arab women. The greatest Rabbanim, including in the Haredit, came out against it. Okay, so it's a delicate issue. But Mendafadun Seichel, a woman converts and they meet her, she's married and her hair is not covered. No, her hair is not covered. You don't annul a conversion because her hair is not covered. And believe me, lachatchila, I demand that the hair should be covered. Alavai, all my daughters cover their hair. All my granddaughters-in-law cover their hair. Of course. But Ribbono Shel Olam can give you a great list, a big list of great rebbetzins who didn't cover their hair. You follow? So you wouldn't annul a gerut because this woman, so yeah, you have to have seichel. But the fact that reforming conservative, that shouldn't be the issue. Particularly in Israel, where we have a real problem, which you don't have in America or Canada. America or Canada, if a person doesn't convert, you know that they're not Jewish. But here, people are walking around, they speak perfect Hebrew, they serve in the army, they curse in Hebrew, they laugh in Hebrew, they write for the newspapers, they began television, and technically they're not Jewish, they're from Russia, their father was Jewish, their mother was not, the grandmother was not, the father is, it doesn't help with the father. So you have a real problem. So here, and the problem is exasperated because there's so many people with this status that there's no pressure on them to convert. So that you have to try to entice them to get them to want to convert and observe basic Yiddishkeit. Also, there's another factor here that everyone living here, 99% of the people observe basic Yiddishkeit, meaning everyone lights Hanukkah candles. People don't eat chametz on Pesach. People fast on Yom Kippur. This goes way beyond nominal observance. So that there's at least a basis here of observance. The trick is to have inspiring classes and to assign every would-be convert to a religious family and let them see the pulse of Yiddishkeit. All right, but coming back here to Kaddish, time is ticking away. There's no question that al pi pure logics, pure seichel, there is no need for the person to give up saying Kaddish. But the minhag certainly wins out. And the minhag in the yeshiva was that only one person says Kaddish, and it's a person who's not a chiyuv, and you cannot add someone who is saying for 1,000 people who donated to the yeshiva, but he cannot add a personal kaddish. That was the minhag, and since we have no svarim and we have no guidance halakhically, so minhag is more important than logic. We'll go a step further next week, and I'm going to show you a very famous question in the Noda B'Yehuda on a very similar topic. And this is who the Mishnah Halacha quotes. And there too, they struggle with logic vis-a-vis minhag. Why is the Noda B'Yehuda so important? And here I want to restate something I've said throughout the generations. A lady just corresponded with me on it. And I just want to make myself crystal clear. Why is the Noda B'Yehuda so important? My dear students, you all know there's a big difference between Rabbi Avadya Yosef dealing with the Psak Halacha and with Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein quotes the Gemara, the basic Rishonim. He rarely quotes Achronim. Rabbi Avadya Yosef, you read a tshuva of his, it's like a printout from Google, from Harav HaGaon Google, he gives you one source after another. You look, you Google, I'm amazed, you Google Aaron Rakefet. You won't believe how many pages print out. At two-thirds of it, I can't believe what they have there. Facebook, YouTube, whatever it's called, YouTube. Unbelievable. Rav Avadya quotes every Achron in the world. And he beat the computer. They say in Kisui Rosh, he knew more Achronim, the Bar Ilan, than the Bar Ilan CD. And this is proven. This is not legendary. It's a fact. Now, Reb Moshe doesn't quote all the Achronim. That was the Litvish way, that was Reb Chaim, that was the whole Litvish approach. Achronim are very nice, but when you have to paskin a shayla, you have to deal with the basic rishonim, and then you go further with your own thinking. When it came to Achronim, there are two Achronim that even the Rav and even Reb Moshe had to quote. And those two shine out above everyone else. One of them is the Noda B'Yehuda, Rabbi Cheskel Landau, and the other one, of course, is the Chatam Sofer, Rabbi Moshe Sofer. Now, they were not that many years apart. Rabbi Cheskel Landau died in 1793. The Chatam Sofer died, I believe it was the mid-30s, 1837 perhaps, that era. Both of them were not that far apart. Both of them were giants of Torah, but both of them struggled as the new world was dawning. Rabbi Dino de Behuda was already caught up with the Enlightenment, and Rabbi the Chatam Sofer had to deal with the Enlightenment as a fully blown individual, as a real, it is tangible, you couldn't escape it. And these two Achronim, heads and shoulders above everyone else, in determining a good deal of the Torah world and the way we live until today. And this is why the Noda B'Yehuda becomes so important. And in this tshuva, this becomes the main source that he quotes and shows something similar. And we'll see with the Noda B'Yehuda, it's not just similar, but so much Torah history is there between the lines of what Jews went through until modern times, basically. The whole question, where you live, where you're allowed to live, who counts, who's part of the family, who has to... It's unbelievable what comes out of this tshuva, what you can study beyond. How do you have one family, everyone has a different last name? Have you encountered that? Who serves in the army? Who's allowed to get married? How many restrictions are there on Jews? And you see the issues the Noda B'Yehuda raises. And finally, we'll come back to the Mishnah Halachot, and then I want to show you the Shulchan Aruch and the Psak, vis-a-vis Kaddish, and take a real Litvisher approach. You're entitled to your own approaches, but let's see a Litvisher approach, what Kaddish is all about. All right, so first of all, Ani Rotzeh Laudot LaKaddish Baruch Hu, that Baruch Hashem, we were able to start our 60th year. You don't understand what it's like to turn my age and still be around. Upstairs in the office, they just drove me crazy because my health insurance here goes up considerably. In other words, they're playing with statistics. So the health insurance, Yitzchak, we're not supposed to be walking upright anymore. Are you aware of that? We're breaking the statistics, so that's number one. They just told me, oh my gosh, what goes on? And all your pension and everything, you don't touch it, it awaits you. Kanain Hara, who needs pension? We're alive and kicking and doing. So Ani Modeh LaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is, in this country, the grandchildren need exactly to buy Dirat. And I want to say I'm very proud to become a Shasnik, although this has nothing to do with the movie that everyone is talking about. My grandchildren will want me to see it, and I tell them, I don't have to see it. I lived it. Ribono shel Olam, I lived it. I'm living here. It's my 50th Elul, citizen of the State of Israel. All right, so we came, and we want to welcome Simon. At least we've picked up one new student. I hope he can bring in a few more by next Monday. Next Sunday, I should say. And the name is very interesting, Italiana. Italienda, am I pronouncing it right? Yeah. Italienda, that's the way in Yiddish we used to call them. All my neighbors are Italiana, you understand? Whoa. In Yiddish, no one told you that? Your name refers to my Italian neighbors. That's it, an Italiana, that's what we used to say. That's your name. I'll say it in Yiddish, Simon Kiki, Yiddish name, it won't harm you. When you become a real Jew and settle in Israel, you'll hebratize the name. Okay? But what do you got to think of it? What can we do with an Italian? Italki. Italki is not, it's Hebrew.
That's his family name. It's like it's not theirs, it's just a race.
It's true. There are those in Israel who spell it Tal. They just take them to the first.
Yeah, that's very nice. Ital. Ital. Tal. Just Tal. Mary solved it. Yitzchak, don't worry about the name. I only had daughters, so the name got lost anyway.
I gave a lecture yesterday in Shul for a study group on the history, who the Rabbi Soloveitchik, who he was, and what was his name. I just want to tell you how I ended the lecture.
Yeah.
I said, all that I said now is based on the writings and the research of Rabbi Aaron Rakat.
Very nice. Homer, the Shem Omro, maybe Gulali, Baruch HaTodner, and Malcolm Shakon.
I was Makitol because your article and writings and 5 years of this year.
Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. Okay, so what did we do today? We did the Tel Yeshiva, we did Reb Menashe Klein, we did the Kaddish, we did the Simchas Torah. Very fascinating, you know, because sometimes we take all this for granted. We Kaddish, but we'll get there. We're going to come back. You'll see Lipish, Mrs. Revel. I'll justify Mrs. Revel with the Raman Shulchan Aruch. We'll get there. And very interesting, that David the Solar Pool. You do yourself a favor and go to Harabago on Google, type in David the Solar Pool. He married an Ashkenaziyah, Tamar. She was the daughter of Rabbi Hirshenhorn. He only had daughters. One, at least as far as I know, one was more brilliant than the other. Okay? Tamar was his wife. There was Nina Adblum, who was a professor, and she was a great devotee of Rabbi Young. She wrote articles for his books as well, and she was the only one, when President Nixon came following the Yom Kippur War, so he took over the King David, everyone was kicked out. Right? That's what they do. When the President of the United States comes, he takes out a whole hotel. Everyone, but they don't want anyone else there who's not part of the entourage for security reasons. The only person allowed to stay was Nina Adelblum. She was in her 90s. She was in a wheelchair. She was wealthy. She lived there on a permanent basis. And they made an exception for her. The third daughter was the Hila Lichtenstein. She already went off the path. Each daughter was brilliant. She and her husband were the founders of Jewish scientist movement. You look it all up. That's it's not Yiddishkeit as we know it. So this was David the Solar Pool. That was his doctorate. That got us involved in the Rav, Rabban Soloveitchik, and the entire question of women saying Kaddish. Halacha l'maisa today, I absolutely agree with the Rav. Women daven, women should say Kaddish. I grew up in a world where women didn't daven. My wife comes from a Hasidic world. She doesn't even know if her grandmother, we're talking, these are people who came to America in the 1870s and remained frum all their lives, and her grandfather had a beard. And she doesn't know if her grandmother went to shul on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. She doesn't think so. Women did not go to shul. There was a shtibl. You didn't even have place for women. Or just, it's a different world. But today, my grandchildren daven. My daughters daven. My granddaughters-in-law daven. I mean, it's an amazing thing to me. Women daven. Shachris, mincha. Some women daven Maariv too. I saw last night in my building, and we daven on a parking lot, Motzei Shabbos, Motzei Yom Tov. I saw last night a woman was coming into the building, she's standing in back and davening. Unbelievable to me. All right, Adkan. Gentlemen and lady, tomorrow, Be'ezrat Hashem, we pick up exactly where we left off. The history of Torah in the United States. Simon, let me assure you, if you have a soul that has some Atlanta Yiddishkeit in it, you will be so interested that you will then take off the next 7 years and go back to all the early Shiurim, because we're picking up in the 1930s. You got to go back to the 1880s, the Ezrat Hashem. All right, now some freebies. Anyone want the latest issue of Hamayan? some interesting articles. The latest Jewish action towards a conservative Haredism. This is a whole article from Chatira, your friend, on Rabbi Glasner, who was Haredi, but yet was very, very open, and they called it a conservative Haredism. Two copies of Contract from the Steinhardt Foundation, Jewish Ukraine, Yomo, that's where you come from. Very fascinating issue. I think they're wasting their money. There's no way to remain Jewish without being a Shomer Torah mitzvah, but they're at least trying to wake up Jewish thinking.
Steinhardt is an atheist.
Yes, but he says if you believe in God, he would be a YU person, Baruch Hashem. So he's an atheist. He's an atheist. No one's an atheist in a foxhole, but he says he is. Here's the article on how they abolished the Hafkat condition of this moron Oded Getz, who wouldn't give a get, that they found out one of the Edom was not. Interesting article. Take it, think of it. Here's the Aguna, the oldest Aguna, where the Beit Din that was not part of the rabbinate, Tzvi Gorodetsky, how they found a way to abolish her marriage. Interesting. This is the New York Times. Oh, you know what this is? These are freebies. I got a lot of material. It hurts me to throw out something interesting. You know, you want? This is unbelievable. A merger for the rabbi and later leader, the head of the unions in America, Randy Weingarten, and the head of the gay synagogue, Rabbi Sharon Ann Kleinbaum, got married. Judge Michelle Schreiber performed the wedding, the signing of the word, the Gutzel Upkitten, and this, two women married, New York Times. The head of all the labor unions is now a Rebbetzin. Gutzel Upkitten, what that has to do with Yiddishkeit. A very nice eulogy in the New York Times on Cloud Lansman. That's the Holocaust, the filmmaker. Very interesting article. Very interesting obituary on Max Fuchs, G.I. Canton, Historic Battlefield Service, a from Jew. And he led the davening right after they liberated the camp. It's a picture of him in his Upper West Side apartment. And maybe you know the children. He's survived by his wife and his daughters, his sons, Yehuda, Aaron, and Dov, his sister, Regina Weingrau. Five grandchildren. He lived with his wife Upper West Side. Beautiful, beautiful article. Interesting article. The son of Julius and Ethel Rosenberg. Who were they? Executed for passing on atomic secrets. He celebrated his bar mitzvah at the age of 71. Chabad got hold of him. The kid put on tefillin for the first time. An article, New York Times. They spit when I walk in the street. The new anti-Semitism in France. Which is just unbelievable, what's going on in France, what's going on in England, and it's raising the price of apartments here in Jerusalem, Ranana, Herzliya, wherever the French, the British want to go. And here's an article which I want your opinion on. Rabbi Miller and I both agree he went too far, but let me hear your opinion. This is the Kollel, graduate of the Kollel, Rabbi Seth Farber, writing in the New York Times, fighting for Judaism in the Jewish state. All right, I want to thank you very much for coming and help me celebrate my becoming a Shasnik until we meet again in health and happiness tomorrow morning. Das Vidanya.
Okay.
Yomo, listen to me carefully. Simon.
I'll be back.
No, I'm not worried about you coming back now. I want to enlist your help. About the modern world, like my great grandchildren will be on me. I want Yomo to teach you how to upload today's shiur.